Was that our first two-man pod?
You and I?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, that sounds right. That should be the stat of the week.
That'll be the bonus stat of the week.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That must be Jeremiah with some shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bounty castle?
Hitler.
Just prepare to, just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast, and this is episode 204, coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're talking about the Pacers players-only meeting, a little focus on Thaddeus Young, and a little bit about the Golden State Warriors. Joining me is one of our three analysts, coast-to-coast, like buttered toast. He's coming to you from Eugene, Oregon, out west, our enforcer, John Harper.
What up, Joey? Good to be here. Shout out this week to my Seattle Sounders. Probably should be a Portland Timbers fan, but I was already gone from Portland by the time they open up their franchise. So I'm a Sounders fan. Sorry, Portland. And they are going to the finals.
Nice.
Yes. After making the playoffs for 400 straight years without getting there, they finally managed to avoid the Galaxy. So
there you go.
There you go.
Sweet.
Shout out Sounders.
With the Indy 11, our sort of second division team, they got to the finals this year against the Cosmos is the team, and they lost in the final. Kind of a bummer. The story actually I heard was that the team plays at a college, and the college already had this is in New York, and the college already had something booked for the final time, so they had to move it to another smaller school that was nearby, and so it was a much smaller crowd, and kind of a bummer. But I guess that's kind of what happens when you get those things going on.
Yeah. Soccer still not a primary sport here.
Nope. If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. Send us a message there, or on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Tell us about your favorite MLS team.
And if it's the Galaxy, you're blacklisted.
This show, we want to talk about the Pacers players only meeting. It was on Thanksgiving Day after practice. Paul George held this thing, and there's an article in the Star about this. Sounds like he really wants to focus on the team, particularly communication on offense, and strategy offense wise, and just different kind of movements, and I think just things in general. They need to get up, to get working better. Like we talked about last show, these guys are there. It's a good team. It's good players, but they are not performing to their potential. And let's be honest, like they, there's a big change in personnel from last year. So a lot of these guys had just never played together. And,
new coach.
And a new coach. There's a whole long list of things that's changed from last year. And, it's just taking some time getting used to each other. And maybe our expectations were a little high out of the gate. Maybe it's on me for thinking they're going to be better than they were out of the gate.
Thanks, Joey.
Yeah, my bad.
Get my hopes up.
Yeah, I talked him up, and this is mostly my fault, I guess. But I think the two games that we've seen, we record on Sunday, the two games we've seen since that meeting, the Pacers really took it out and they won big. Mm-hmm. They played really well offensively and defensively. And they've done great. So, and this is without PG on the floor. He's still injured. And whatever happened there is something good. And I'm going to give props to Paul George for initiating this, because he is the leader of the team. You know, of course he's the best player, but, you know, we have some vets around him. But they're new, and, you know, Al Jefferson's not going to do this. You know, Monte Ellis isn't going to do this. You know, this is something PG has to do, and he did it. So shout out to him.
I was watching the Nets game when I found out about this meeting. I didn't realize that it had happened. But prior to it, I was watching these guys play, and I'm like, man, what got into these guys? Like, the interior passing in this game is better than I've seen all season. Guys are moving better than I've seen all season. They're anticipating better. Everything just seemed better. And then I found out about this players only meeting, and I was like, okay, well, maybe they're, you know, clearly there was a link there. That's fantastic. I don't know how the media gets the information that they get about a players-only meeting where even the coaches aren't allowed, but the Star article describes it as, you know, they're out on the court in a circle and Paul George is out there just teaching basketball, right? Talking about communication on the floor and, you know, how to be in the right places. I assume that that's true. I have no reason to think it's not. Is that weird, though, that the media would be invited, but not the coaches? How does that work?
Well, it looked like it was after practice, and they just kind of hung out on the floor afterwards and just kind of...
Gotcha.
I mean, you can just ask, you know, Nate, say, hey, you know, take a minute with the guys. And, and, you know, I think at every practice there's going to be reporters there, but they were just kind of off to the side and, you know, not part of the discussion, of course.
Gotcha. And, Joe, you were mentioning, you know, we've talked about communication on defense and having that defensive quarterback. You know, we've certainly hit on that. Paul George was very much preaching the same thing on offense, right? I think it's a bit of a pitfall for a guy as good at and cerebral about basketball as he is to just assume that everyone knows what they're supposed to be doing in some sense, right?
Right.
I mean, he's just – he understands the game in a way that, you know, only coaches do, right? And so I can't imagine how frustrating it must be for him most of the time. And he's not always the most outspoken guy. So clearly this was a great thing. I mean, not only for him to, you know, take a moment to teach, because he is a lead by example guy, but also preach communication generally, because that is clearly something that we needed more of. And just the way that the guys responded tells you that Paul George is a very good leader, right? Most of the time he's going to do it by example and not by getting in guys' face and yelling during a timeout, right? That's not necessarily his style. But that doesn't mean he's not a good leader, right? I mean, there's different styles of leadership, and it sounds like he's starting to find his voice.
Sure. And I think, rarely have seen him upset and, you know, screaming at somebody for something they did. You know, that you're right. That is not his style. You know, different players and different situations call for different responses. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you do something a little outside the norm. And it sounds like this is one of those times. That didn't sound like it was a nasty meeting at all or anything like that.
No.
But nor did it you're right. Sure. And a lot of these top, you know, some of these superstar players, you know, I heard they think about the game differently than even the other, like, solid players.
They're playing chess, and other guys are playing checkers.
And, I mean, I've heard Coach K, when he was coaching LeBron for USA Basketball, had said, like, he'd never met any player that understood the game better.
He described basketball as a house, and the more windows that you have. I love the quote. He said, LeBron's house has a lot of windows. He sees many things.
And that's, you know, that's not something, you know, I think that's just super impressive that, you know, people who, these two guys aren't, you know, they only interact, you know, I think mostly through USA Basketball, but to get, you know, one of the top basketball minds, but certainly top college basketball minds meeting with LeBron James, clearly one of the top, you know, player minds, just goes to show how, you know, what level these guys are on. And I think also, one thing that some of the great, great players like Michael Jordan, these guys, while they understand the game at a certain level, they cannot communicate that to other people.
Right.
which may make them a jerk when they try when they're screaming at somebody for not doing something. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad that, you know, I think it's a good work environment when, you know, you have a productive discussion. And it sounded like at the meeting, you know, he was certainly was asking for feedback and everyone to give their opinion too, because, you know, each player does not have the always have the every best idea. You know, you want to say, hey, sure, let's draw on your experience too.
Sure.
You know, a lot of these guys like Monte and Al Jefferson, and, you know, they've been around. They've seen a bunch of stuff. They played under other coaches. You know, maybe Monte can steal some of the wisdom he's gained through the years. And he's had some good coaches along the way too.
Yeah. The first third of the season needs to be about, especially when you've got new head coach, new system, new players, find yourself, find your identity, figure out the style of basketball that you want to play. And then you grow on that as the season moves forward, right? We have very much, it feels to me as a spectator, we've lacked identity. Mm-hmm. It sucks to be without Paul George in a stretch of basketball as tough as we just entered. However, we responded so very well. And this meeting is certainly part of that. I mean, the two games since then, you know, we totaled up 51 assists in two games. That's not something that we're known for. And that's great. But even more important than that, watching the team on the floor without him, you start to see a team that understands that it can play together without Paul George bailing it out every night, right? You start to see Jeff Teague as likely the second guy on this team, right? It looks like he has and is comfortable with, or starting to get comfortable with, the reins. I think the other thing that I saw in this very small sample set was Miles Turner seems to be the emotional leader. He's a young kid. Yeah, you want to get him a lot of touches, but he's not ready to be the leader of a veteran team yet, right? But when you're up 18 against the Nets and he's living and dying with every shot on the bench and he's getting the bench fired, I love that kind of passion about basketball. And I know Paul George has that, but he's so cerebral about it, it doesn't come across as a fan. Miles Turner has that, you know, for lack of a better term, sort of childish love, right, of the game that I think we as fans have, right?
Yeah, we're doing the same stuff. We're throwing our fists in the air when he's, you know, swatting that shot or exactly, you know, making a big dunk.
And my terrified dog is running out of the room because I'm screaming at the TV. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think that's he's 20 years old, and I think there's guys, like I said, all these guys that have been around. He's not going to, I don't think he has the depth of knowledge or the leadership skills right now to, you know, to lead Al Jefferson and to Monte. Not that they wouldn't accept that. I think they wouldn't have a problem with that. I think everyone's in the same, everyone's on the same team and they understand that. And everyone wants to do the right thing to do. There don't seem to be a whole lot of, like, you know, there's no ego issues on this team, I don't think.
It doesn't seem like it. But that being said, leadership does have to be earned. And
sure. Oh, exactly.
You're a second year guy. You're not always doing the right stuff. So it's you're still learning. It's hard to yell at Al Jefferson for doing the wrong thing when you're not always doing the right thing.
Right.
You know, it's great to have Paul George. Paul George is always doing the right thing. Like, I'm not saying the guy never makes a bad play. Of course, that's not the case. But there's no one on this team who would doubt for a second that he's not the best player on the court 90% of the time. And that carries a lot of weight. And him finding a leadership style that's going to work for him and this team, and you know, start help investing in Jeff Teague and Miles Turner as the next leaders of this team. To help him carry that load, to find the balance of leadership that works for this team, that's really important, right? That's where everybody's really starts clicking when, you know, like you said, Paul George is bringing in other voices. That's good stuff, right? You want these guys to feel like one unit and everybody's opinion matters. And if, you know, somebody feels like something's going wrong, they need to feel free to bring that up and know that it's safe to air that beef without it turning into beef, right?
Yeah, and I think you made a good point about these other players they're gonna have leadership roles as well. You know, some of these, like Jeff Teague and these other players, they are gonna have roles. And you know, this is what Paul George's is his seventh season, I believe. Well, last year was his first one without the big leaders, you know, without David West and Roy Hibbert. He's still getting used to this aspect of being the best player, you know, on the team. He's still getting used to this, and it doesn't come natural to everybody. but I think he's coming along with this as well. So this is a good, I think, seems like a great step in this direction. They got a good group of guys, and if they can find the best way to work together, you know, with the coaching staff and the players and the leadership roles and the, you know, playing roles, and they can get it all lined up, you know, I think they will be a force to be reckoned with.
Absolutely.
Instead of the team that's getting, you know, beat by the, you know,
the Nets.
The Nets and the, you know, and flat performances against the Hawks, and just getting run out of the building.
Sure.
Who was it? Was it Phoenix?
Phoenix was a bad loss.
That was a rough one too.
It was.
And great teams won't have those losses.
Or very, very, very few of them, certainly. Right.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a lot of fallacies about leadership that tend to be out there, especially in professional sports. You know, the best player has to be the best leader, and the best leader has to be the loudest guy. And there seems to be a lot of correlations that are made that aren't necessarily true. And it's fine to be a quiet leader and lead by example. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't have a responsibility to raise your voice when things aren't going well, which is what Paul George has done, right?
Yeah, see Tim Duncan.
See Tim Duncan, for sure. He's an amazing leader, and I think he surprised everyone, including in no small part, I would guess, himself. And Pop deserves a ton of credit for that, because he's a different kind of leader in a lot of ways, right? But leadership is very much about holding people accountable, making sure that your voice is heard when it needs to, and just going out there and doing the thing. And if Jeff Teague can, you know, Jeff Teague's a veteran. Like, he's young, but he's played in this league. If our point guard can be sort of our second voice, especially on offense, that's really important, right? That's, you want your best player to be your best leader, ideally, in some sense. But if your point guard can be your leader on the court, that is also ideal. And so stressing communication and getting a little bit more out of Jeff Teague, I think, is a really good place to put some emphasis.
Sure.
And I want Jeff Teague to be happier. I think he's going to be really successful. This is my guy.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's got a great potential. And I know, you know, the way he went out in Atlanta, you know, it doesn't seem to be, you know, it was not the best of circumstances. And he seemed to be pretty upset with the franchise. But, you know, at the end of the day, he got, the team chose to go a different direction. But, I mean, he was an all-star in the past. And mm-hmm. He could do it again. I don't see any reason he couldn't. But right now, not this year, but maybe next year, he could. He's putting up 30 points occasionally, and getting his rebounds. And
I mean, it's not too late for him to make the cut this year. I mean, it certainly makes it tough with DeRozan doing what he's doing. But right. I mean, Jeff T can definitely turn it on. I mean, the big thing coming from a situation like that is you just don't want to see a guy whose confidence got shook, and that doesn't seem to be an issue. Jeff Teague's not afraid to go out there and play his game. You know, like Paul George, I worry a little bit about the confidence in the voice, but I think that this meeting was a great first step, not just for PG, but for Jeff Teague too. I mean, you know, creating space on the team for guys to put it out there and improve communication, and that's going to make everybody a teacher and everybody a student. So,
I think one of those guys we have not mentioned yet out of all of this conversation is Thaddeus Young. You know, he's one of these veterans. He's been around. And I think this guy pretty much puts his head down, does the right, tries to do the right thing. I think he's one guy, we don't draw those plays up for, but he can be, he can set some really nice screens. I think he's savvy enough to just kind of pick up extra rebounds, extra assists. You know, he's averaging 1.6 assists this year, which is, I think, pretty good for power forward. This season, he's getting 12.1 points a game, which is down a point or two from before. But, I think he's lower on the totem pole than he was previously.
He's not our first scoring option like he was in Brooklyn.
Exactly, yeah. 6 boards a game. But he's shooting almost 55%, which is great. And he's shooting 43% from the range this year, which is just awesome. I think he's been a really great addition. He's sort of big shoes to fill, but I don't know. I've been really happy with him. I didn't know what to expect coming into the season because I didn't know too much about him. And he's been with bad teams for a while, so I wasn't sure what we were getting, but he's been great.
Yeah, it's such a luxury to have a guy who you never have to draw a play up for, but will always be productive for you. You know, you worry about a guy coming out of a team where he was a leading scorer, or a team with a winning, or, you know, teams that haven't been successful, don't have that culture of winning. You worry about being able to share the ball. You worry about, you know, effort for 48 minutes. None of that stuff is a Thad Young thing. Courageous heart, man. That's my deal. And his effective field goal percentage this year, 59%. He's shooting the best he's ever shot it from three. I think he was up around 45% a week ago, so I think he's starting to revert to the mean a little bit. But he's clearly worked hard on his three-point shooting. It's definitely paying dividends. He doesn't mind that he's not taking 12 shots a game. He doesn't care. He's fine to crash the glass. He's fine to get the second chance points. And he's more than happy to hit an open three. I mean, chicks dig the long ball, right?
I mean, yeah, we watched the Clippers game, and I saw him, you know, now having a guy who can hit threes. You know, he's not taking a lot of them, but But one of the reasons that his percentage is high is because he's taken good ones. You know, he's never taken contested ones, you know. But I think he's a very smart player, and he's when he does get some space, you know, he can creep out to the three-point line if it's appropriate. And you just got to find the right passer to identify that and get it out to him. And, you know, he'll knock that down.
Yep. And he's finding the space out there. It clearly, he's got a high basketball IQ. I mean, he knows what he's supposed to be doing. And with the improved communication and the more willing passing that we've seen over the past few games, it's going to continue to get better for him and for everybody, right? The more that he hits that three, the more that it stretches out the floor for Glenn Robinson and Miles Turner and everybody else. And it's really becomes an additive thing, right? The better everyone is playing, the better everyone else can play.
Yeah. I think now seeing him play some, I think he's a really great addition to this team with the skill set that he has. You know, scoring is not what we need right now. You know, I think he's kind of the glue guy, and he just kind of does whatever is needed. He's your garbage man. Just takes care of whatever needs to get taken care of. That's what he does, and he's great at that. And his numbers are never going to be amazing, but he can put up 20, 25 points in a game if that's what needs to be done.
Sure.
If he's got a good mismatch and he can take advantage of it, then he should do that.
As a fourth option, this guy's a beast. It's a great luxury to have a guy like that. I'm going to harp on him like I harp on everybody. I need better rebounding, but that's not a Thaddeus Young thing. That's an Indiana Pacers basketball thing. He was pulling down 99 per game last year, which was statistically aberrant over the course of his career. He's at 6.1 this year, which is actually over his career average. But if he can get that up around 7, you know, almost a steal and a half per game mixed in there. This guy, he's just a really good contributor. And is always willing to do the little things. He'll get on the floor for that loose ball. Just a really good addition. I was a little concerned about how he'd fit in with us, but Colson was right about this one, right? We don't have to make something for Thaddeus Young. He's just going to smoothly slide into his role. He's going to find spaces to make plays.
Yeah, that's exactly what I've seen too. And definitely happy to have him here. Welcome addition to the Pacers.
Shout out.
Twitter name is YoungSmooth21.
Like it.
Like that. Well, hey, let's take a break here. I want to get some new music in the break at halftime here. This one, out of Boston, is produced by Static Selecta, MC's Terminology. A new album coming out here soon. I'll get a link to the song in the show notes. But the song is Top Shotta. And I've been digging this one. I got this one via Bringing Down the Band, the Turn Off the Radio playlist. But I like this one a lot. Check it out.
Static Selecta.
Top shot, boy.
Feel me?
Top shot, boy.
Show off. Sipping this liquor off the 8th floor balcony. Thinking how I made the whole world bounce for me. I had to bubble on the low and blow silently. No longer wanna be the one to live violently. Two baby mamas, two babies, that's 4 mouths to feed. 100 friends, but none of them looking out for me. Got tax issues, got debts, and got accounting fees. I just wanna heal my pain with this cloud of tree. Is it all in my mind or am I paranoid? Is this karma in the air, one I can't avoid? Can I, Lord, ask you to give me the strength not to lust for anything that I can't afford? I don't need no awards or nothing immature. I was more thinking less nightmares and men of wars. Thinking how my aunt Tammy died last month. Got me smoking every L like it's my last blunt. I keep it humble, don't chill with people that's gassed up. Some of my friends rich, some of them on they last buck. How could I stop showing you love cause you had bad luck? Anybody could vouch for me, any hood I get mad love. The fuselage is sprayed, never delayed. I'm just coming for a blaze. Every time I blaze, take a minute just to look back in the days as I reminisce the maze. But I'm still a cage rat. That's the state fact, and you should page 8 that. Trying to get the papers, caught up upon the vapors. Hiatus to my haters, the people's dilators. See them how they trait us, and then they rate us greatest, and then they slave us. And enslave us and engrave in our mind that we can't be the greatest. We wasted too much time, taking time for granted. The fruit of life I planted, I palm granite. Last man rapping for the planet, I kissed the granite. On my Africa, been by time, Pacho, I Pacho, gold, I make that Harry Potter, poof. You rappers not tight, son, you not hot top. Big up like Papa to the realest top shot top. Top shot, top boy.
Thank you to Static Selecta and Terminology. Like I said, we'll get links in the show notes. You can listen to it on SoundCloud for free. And you can buy them on iTunes. Coming out the break here, I want to talk about my stat of the week.
Joey's stat of the week!
This one comes in from listener Charlie. He sent it over. And I tell you what, it's going to be my stat of the week because it's about Kawhi Leonard. And I love Kawhi Leonard. I love the organization that he plays with. But the stat is, he's the only active player to have more steals than fouls in his career.
What?
Which I think is just awesome. That's just awesome.
That's absurd.
You know, he's such, you know, there's a couple of these big name players that they don't foul a lot. I think LeBron's one of these guys and Kawhi's another one. They're just super smart about the way they play and including
superstar calls.
Yeah. Nope.
Nope. I wish it was true, but it's not.
I mean, you maybe get a little bit here and there, but that's not gonna go your whole career like that. So
no, it's not. And he's earned his reputation the hard way.
Absolutely, but yeah, he's got those hands. But the thing is, you can see he uses them for good and not evil, and I think that's applaudable. Because you know how many players he could foul with those hands, like all of them
at the same time. Yeah, just hold them in his hand.
Exactly. If it was me, I'd foul out of every game. You just want to stay away from him if he's on the floor.
Yeah, if at all possible, just get away from Kawhi Leonard. But as opponents have found, he'll find you.
Yeah, exactly. But I think that's awesome. Thanks to Charlie for sending that in. So it's been a little time, Harper, and I know when it goes too long without talking about the Warriors, you get the shakes. And I think it's about that time of the year. They're picking up their game. They've only lost two games this season. They've regained their title of the best record in the league.
Well, they got off to a slow start, and it made it easy for me to not harp on how awesome they are. I think they lost two of their first five or six. They, as of recording, I think they sit at 15-2. And they seem to really have found a groove. Like a scary, scary groove. They had a 47 assist game the other night.
Oh my God.
47 assists. They had also had 30 or more assists in 9 straight games. 30. That's second all time to the Charlotte Hornets of 88, 89. And I don't think the Hornets won all of those games. But the Golden State Warriors, they sure as heck won all of theirs. What's changed for them? I mean, not really a whole lot. They're doing the same thing that we are, just at a different level. They're just learning how to share the basketball a little bit better, learning each other's tendencies a little bit better. And honestly, losing a couple games early is probably the best thing that could have happened to them, right? Help get the spotlight off them. And it seems to have been a good thing for them so far. You told me earlier that they had a little party.
Yeah.
A super villain party. So yep. They've decided that their identity this year, post Kevin Durant, is that they are the nemesis of the league. They're fine with being the bad guys. Everybody needs locker room material, right? And these guys are, plucking something out of the air. This is probably not really there. But whatever it takes to win, right? Whatever you got to put on that bulletin board to get it going. And Kevin Durant has been amazing. Klay Thompson, after a slow start, is back in the groove. They've won, I think, 11 straight now. This team is legit.
Yeah, it's, adding, a top five player to a team that's gone to the finals 2 years in a row, of course, winning one of those. I think that's a little bit of what we saw, like you said, in the first little bit of the season there. Lost a couple games, but once he's worked in, I mean, the team's going to be obviously frightening. Yeah, and I think a little silly on the supervillain stuff. I think that really most of the negative press that the team is seeing at all is, seeing KD called a coward for going to, one of the best teams in the league. But I mean, who cares? I don't care. Like, who cares?
Yeah, I mean, any team that he goes to is going to immediately be one of the best teams in the league.
Right. So, yeah, maybe they did win, set a record last year for a number of games won. But
sure. But they also have, as near as I can tell, they have the most fun playing basketball.
Sure.
It's hard to fault a guy for wanting to have fun playing basketball. It seems clear in hindsight that the Westbrook regime was less than fun to play under.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't, I never really got that feeling out of that. There was a lot of that, the yelling and the negative work environment kind of stuff.
Seems like, right?
And I think, I think KD, he doesn't seem like a real vocal guy on the floor. He lets his game do the talking, and it obviously talks a lot. But, he can go to a place where, Steph Curry is going to be more of the focus, and he can just focus on what he wants to do, which is embarrassing right. Everyone else in the league.
Which so far this season is averaging 27.2 points per game on 57%. That's not effective. That's field goal percentage.
He's shooting 57%?
His effective field goal percentage is 64%.
So that's...
And that's with a free throw percentage, which is only 84%, which is low for him.
Oh. Man.
He's also averaging 8.1 boards, almost 5 assists, a steal and a half, and a block and a half.
So one thing I was wondering about when he was going to go to OKC, or from leaving OKC, was I was wondering where those were going to come from, because they already scored so many points, and they weren't really losing a scorer. And so I think it's by just raising the number of points they score to like 140 occasionally.
That's definitely part of it. Greater efficiency from everybody. I mean, Kevin Durant is probably the most underrated low post player in the league. I mean, it's easy to see that dude on SportsCenter coming with the nasty dunks and finishes and three-point shots, but he's a really effective low post player. They're going to maximize that. When you actually look at how the shots are distributed with GSW, Klay is down like a shot. Draymond's down like a shot and a half. They're doing it with pace and efficiency,
That ain't right.
No, it's not right. These guys are really, really scary. And as much as I would probably rather at this point see the Cavs win a championship, we could be headed for one of the most anticipated finals in NBA history. I mean, this could really be something. What's too much for LeBron to handle? Hmm. I mean, certainly we haven't found it yet. And
yeah, I think I would, yeah, just throw more on his back. I don't,
dude, I don't care.
He probably won't even notice KD out there. You know, I will say the Cavs have been playing pretty well themselves these days.
I actually just went back and watched the Game 7 from last year.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the post-game things from LeBron was, you know, there's always so much on my shoulders and, you know, God always tests you and all that kind of stuff. He always said the man upstairs. The man upstairs always tests you. Well, he's definitely going to have a new test this season, that's for sure. And they've been playing great. When we did our preview pod, J.R. Smith hadn't signed. They did get that done. Kevin Love has been out of his mind for the past
My God. Week. My man upstairs.
Right? Whew. Telling you. They played against the Sixers today, and the Sixers really gave them all that they could handle. They ended up, the Sixers, that is, lost, I think, by 10 points or something. But they were winning that game for about 44 minutes. And then Kyrie Irving just came in and just put the kibosh on that.
I think he ended up with 39 points. But yeah, I mean, Caleb's shooting has been unreal.
Yeah, he's...
He had like 8 threes in the quarter?
He's in the zone. Shooters will get in the zone, and Kevin Love is a shooter, man. Right. But if you're a Cavs fan, it's great to see that confidence, right? Because I think that's what you worry about with Kevin Love, is that he's not always engaged because he's not the first guy anymore.
Man.
But boy, when he gets his spots, he can eat you up. That's a really positive sign for them.
Keep that in your noggin, Golden State. I'm sure they're watching.
Put that in your noggin and smoke it.
Which they can now, because they finally legalized whatever that is. Recreational smoking in California.
Yeah.
You want to talk about our game of the week?
I would love to talk about our game of the week.
Game of the week. Game of the week. Game of the week. Game of the week. Game of the week.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
We're playing the Portland Trail Blazers. You're a big fan of the Blazers.
That's my second NBA team. My home away from home.
What do you think we got? What are we looking for?
So far this season, the Portland Trail Blazers have been underperforming, a little bit like our Pacers. They're currently sit at 9-9. A couple of the markers that you look for teams that are better than what their record shows don't bode particularly well for them. They're negative 3.4 on point differential. They're just 4-6 on the road. Starting to be a lot of talk out there about maybe a trade happening, and maybe that's something that will be in the wings for my Portland Trail Blazers. We shall see. Whenever you're playing them, though, all you got to look for is how we're going to contain that backcourt. You got Damian Lillard. You got CJ McCollum. We hope to have PG back by then, but that is in no way certain. Actually, I don't even know if we're getting CJ Miles back by then. That would certainly be useful. They're just tough to contain. They're going to put up a bunch of shots. They're going to be really aggressive to the rim. They play great team defense. We're at their house, and the Moda Center is a very tough place to play. In order for us to be successful, Jeff Teague is really going to have to make Dame work on the defensive end. And Nate has got his work cut out for him coaching against Darius Dotz. He's going to have a great game plan coming into this, because they're the kind of team that just they execute really well. So I need something special from Nate, something special from Jeff Teague, and Thaddeus Young is going to be my X factor. There's going to be a lot of room for him down there to get some work done.
Yeah, I think, and maybe he's going to be scoring some extra points, because I like you said, Jeff Teague is going to have his hands full. I think Lillard is one of those guys. You know, he's his outside shooting has just been phenomenal,
and it's
getting better. You know, he's extended his range even more. He's about the only other guy who's got, you know, in the Curry region of the floor where he can pull up from, you know, almost anywhere.
He ain't shy.
No. And if it goes, it goes. You know, that's it's something that defenders need to look out for, because, you know, that's, you know, one of the few advantages you do have of pulling up from that distance, is that no one's expecting it and no one's going to try to get a hand in your face, because why would you do that?
He's averaging 28 points per game. His PER is over 25 currently. The guy's just a beast. The guy's just getting it done. Dame's having a great season, and I hope he keeps it up. Because if he doesn't make the All-Star team this year, I'm going to flip my shit. He's sick.
I tell you what, man. Particularly in the Western Conference, but the All-Star selections are just – it's too hard, man. It's so hard, though. You have so many players that are just absolutely amazing, and somebody's got to stay home.
It's true. And with Westbrook and Harden playing the way that they're playing –
I mean, yeah.
You got Curry out there. It's tough for Dame to find a spot, but probably because it's a small market, he's probably not going to win the voting. He's probably not going to get voted in. But I think the coaches know now that leaving Dame out this year would be a travesty, unless his game drops off dramatically between now and then, which seems highly unlikely.
Well, another thing is they're only playing about 500 ball, which, you know, somebody like, if you're going for the guard spots, Klay Thompson would be going for that same position, and Klay Thompson's team is 15-2 right now.
And may put four guys out there on the All-Star team. They'd be the first guy since the Hawks 3 years ago, wherever it was. And I think we actually looked this up. I think it was like seven teams all time or something had put out four All-Stars on the same team. Like that. I mean, it's hard to say no to any of the Warriors. They're all individually so good.
Yeah, Zaza.
What? Whatever it was, Bogut.
Yeah.
But no, at the very least, I think that this is going to be not only a really exciting game to watch because I love the Portland Trailblazers brand of basketball, but also I just think it's going to be a good test for our Pacers to see how far we've actually come to play a team as well coached as the Trailblazers. This is a good measuring stick for us. Their team is struggling a little bit, but all the upside in the world. This should be a good one. I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. Well, anything else this week?
Go Pacers!
That's right. Well, till next time, you can find us on Twitter. We are out at Undebeatables.
When the other guys are classy, San Diego?
You know, when the other guys aren't here, sometimes my head doesn't work right. We podcast like we're connected by a string.
Exactly. And they pulled us way out by not showing up.
Exactly.
It's their fault.
Yeah. This has nothing to do with me.
No.
We're on Facebook.com/TheUnbeatables. We're on TheUnbeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us all a message. You can review us on iTunes. It really helps new listeners find our show. Thanks to everyone who's done that and given us nice reviews. We got t-shirts for sale on the website /store.
Shout out to the doctor. Shout out to the bartender who couldn't join us today. Appreciate you guys and missed you. Turn out the lights. The party's over. Close the refrigerator door. The jello is jiggling.